Welcome to Elective B. This is Preteen Retreats for Kids and Parents, and my name is Roger Timer. I am a children's pastor and a pastor, and also the director of Kids Count Ministries, who has as a mission arm a way to resource churches and a publishing company called Kids Count Publishing. But I am here because I really believe in the importance of what we can do as a church to equip our parents for shaping their families and their parenting in such a way that their kids are able to stand up against some of the pressures of the world that would want to conform them into thinking as the world does. But even more than that, not just defensively, but to think in terms of what we can do to equip our parents and our families so that we might winsomely be salt and light to the world. And this is a topic that does just that. So would you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for the people gathered here, and we gather in your name. We know that your name has been placed over us as we have received you by faith. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, our Savior, we pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit, a spirit of wisdom and knowledge, a spirit of insight, and a spirit of compassion that we might be able to better use the influence you've given us to equip and empower parents and teens and preteens, Lord, to be who you've called them to be. And especially we thank you for the beautiful, wonderful, sacred gift of sex. And we pray, O Lord, that in our churches it would be a gift that is celebrated in ways that give honor and glory to you and is used, Lord, to build people up the way you've designed them. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here is the opening question from you. I need the top 10 reasons why you would want to have a father-son or mother-daughter retreat on sex. Why would it be so important? It's what?
You can build dialogue between the parent and the child.
Thank you. Start the talking process. I'm going to roam around and put the microphone on you.
Parents should be the first place kids hear about sex.
Wow. Thank you.
This could be a safe place for them both.
Wow.
It builds a trusting relationship.
I just have a question. How come you say father-son, mother-daughter? How come it couldn't be mother-son?
It definitely could. And there are certain, we're gonna talk about that. And a better way to describe this question would be parent-child. But since the models that we're looking for is father-son and mother-daughter, because some things can happen there that cannot happen two-on-one, and that's one of the models we're looking at. I'm going to talk about why there's differences, but for the sake of the opening question that kind of gets us understanding the scope of the challenge before us, we're talking about a retreat in which parents are talking to their child about sex, and particularly in the preteen years. So thank you for that question. Well received. What are some other reasons why it's very important? Let's get another four or five.
So you can demonstrate to your child how to...
Thank you.
Eliminate the distractions of your everyday world.
The blessings of a retreat. Thank you. Two more.
Demonstrate to your children that they are important. Going to this with them, focusing on them. And I don't know how to articulate.
You did a great job. And I bet your people in your churches would say some of the similar things. And I'm going to give you mine, since it's, I got number 10. Because I've got a preteen, and I don't know how to talk to him about sex. 1997, I had my oldest son, who was 10 years old. And we had a strong relationship, and I knew that it was time for me to man up. And I wanted to talk to him about what it means to be not just facts about sex. I wanted to talk to him what it meant to be a man. So I began to do some reading about it and asking my friends, a fellow pastor of mine, he did it this way. He said, well, I just took my sons away. We had our own retreat. We went to stayed overnight in a hotel, and then we went to a ball game, and I talked to him about sex. I go, what was that like? He goes, well, it was kind of like talking to the windshield there for a while. We finally got through with that, and then we got to the ball game. And maybe that's one of the reasons why sometimes parents feel uncomfortable about that. But at least for me, I said, I need the guys. They're going through the same thing I'm going. And as a matter of fact, it seems to me, and this was intuitive at the time, but now research collaborates it just in a compelling fashion. It takes a group of men for sons that begins to give them a picture of what not just the truth about sex, but what it means to be a man. So it's not just birds and bees, it's manhood. And the same thing is true for daughters. What was so surprising, and I have done this retreat now for 15 years, and I have talked to people about it all over the world, at different kinds of retreat. What's surprising is this. Christian parents, how few talk to their kids about sex. And when you consider the torrential force of the culture and the message that it gives from early ages on, our silence says volumes, does it not? And parents, that's the question. Why aren't parents talking about it? And I think we need to get to that so that we can get to getting the solution. You help me. Why are parents having a hard time talking to their kids about sex? Or would you agree? Is that true? Yes. Do some do better than others? Of course. But as a church, could we not help all of our parents do a better job in this area? Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, when we talk about discipleship, we sometimes have a tendency to spiritualize it away. As if discipleship is only about sitting in the corner reading your Bible. And as we heard this morning, discipleship is so much more than that. It is how we make a winsome witness to the world. It's what our faith is like when we're living it out. And there's areas of our life that make compelling witnesses, particularly if you're a teen and you say, no, and I just had a young man in college whose girlfriend broke up with him because he refused to have sex with her. What a witness. So anyway, let's talk about why parents are having a hard time talking to their kids. And then we're going to go into figuring out what might be a good solution or some options. Help me with this. Why are they having a hard time?
Their own sex lives are less than what they believe it should be or could be.
Absolutely, particularly historically. They're scared of the question, what about you, Dad? Yeah. What about you, Mom? And the enemy has got us all tangled up on that one. As if we're going to have to. Now we're going to talk about what's appropriate to disclose and what's appropriate not to. But there's a lot of enemy lies behind that. Yes, next.
Our parents never modeled it to us. Never talked to us.
That's true. Okay, so in the father-son retreat that we do, it's so funny. We always have an orientation with the dads before they go and the moms before they go. It happens at least a week ahead of time because you want to kind of get prepared. You want to do this well. And we have a lot of fun. You also want to make friends. So one of the warm-up questions that we have is get in pairs or get in groups of three and dads talk to one another about how your dad talked to you about sex. That conversation point takes 30 seconds and a lot of laughter because it's uncanny how much nothing was said or what was said was so awkwardly just silent stupid. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry I deviated too much. Give me some other reasons why they're having a hard time.
I think sometimes, at least for myself, I don't want it to be so much about rules, you can't do this, you can't do that. I think it needs to be more about kind of the beauty of everything, right? And it's hard to get that out.
Oh, isn't that so true? And the world is even, I'm sorry, this is not good processing because I shouldn't be footnoting your answer. Thank you for that. But let me footnote it also. because the world even has a picture of the Christian expression of sex, which is all about don't. When in fact, the truth be known, the people having the most sex and the best sex are happily married couples. Did you know that, by the way? Yes, especially happily married giving couples that are practicing Christ-filled lives. Next.
I think sometimes people don't realize that it is a gift God and it needs to be celebrated. It's just kind of a...
When's the last sermon you heard on sex as a gift from God?
About a year and a half ago?
At least we had one. Now, wouldn't it be neat if you had a way that you thought regularly in your church? That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
It would be. I think
it would strengthen everyone's perception. That sex is something we ought to be talking about in church and what a beautiful gift it is. Let's talk about it in appropriate ways. Super. Give me two more, please. This is really good.
Probably because, unfortunately, we let the school system raise our children so much nowadays.
Especially if we think that sex is only about birds and bees. And sex is so much more than that. The most important sexual organ is? The brain. And the values behind the brain.
For me, I'm raising two boys, so I don't...
Welcome to Testosterone City.
Exactly.
Yes. I raised three boys. My wife had to get a female dog. Yeah. Okay. Would you continue to please give me questions and responses? But let me give you a model. And as we walk through it, would you be asking yourself this question? What are the essential principles that we would want to have in a retreat? Because you don't need to do this retreat the way that I did it. But you can feel free to do it, you know, this way. And if I can give you resources, I'll give you everything I can for it. But let's not get locked into trying to do ministries just to do outward forms of something. Let's understand why we're doing what we're doing, all right? And what are some of the essential principles? So I'm going to be stopping as we go. The two models I'm going to look at are the father-son and mother-daughter retreat, and this is why we put the two together. In terms of boys and dads, every boy needs to hear this. Son, you've got what it takes. What about boys whose fathers are not living at home? That's a big percentage. They still need to hear that from significant males and from other men. You got what it takes. Respect is their love language. And something happens when you get dads and sons together. You get Testosterone City. And you put a couple mamas in there, and it changes everything. They'll start wiping their noses. They'll stop being proud of the noises that come out of their bodies and all that other stuff that guys need to do when guys are having a guy's retreat. And what's kind of curious about that is that it's giving boys a chance to see what a fellowship of men is. And there has been some wonderful works about like Raising a Modern Day Knight, that book, that shows that we don't have some of those rightful passages in which boys are knighted and they go through that stage of progression in the fellowship of men around them. That's why I've had certain dads say, would you be one of the significant men in my son's life so that when he would graduate and there'd be five guys around and we would have an evening and we would just go gather around him and bless him and then we would pray over him. That is a huge, huge winsome thing. The fellowship of, and I believe that's a trend coming in the church now because the church is going to have to be much more dynamically relational. And that's what this does. Now, what about the other side of the coin, mothers, daughters? Mothers, daughters are getting ready for the teenage years, are they not? And mother-daughter teenage years, those always go smoothly perfect, don't they? Well, this is an opportunity that before a lot of those issues come up, to not only, like you said earlier, to open up the topic, but also to build relationship, because we need to do everything we can to build relationship. And in both of these settings, as you build relationship with your own parent, in this case, daughters to mothers, or also sons to dads, it's nice to have opportunity to relate to other Christian mothers, if you're a daughter. Because you might need that extra voice to talk to when the years go on. And moms need voices one to another. We must be a community going through those life stages together. That's where we learn from. Because there's so many actually lies or deceptions that happen throughout the teenage years that say, well, you really can't talk to your kids about this. Because, you know, okay, who are you dating? Or who are you liking at school? Well, because that sometimes, the way I see it working, I'm perhaps not clear enough. Oftentimes kids will say, you're the only parent that would not let me watch a PG-13 movie. That is so dumb. But when you have got some other parents with you, you can say, oh yeah, you know, I'm not the only one. And it's not just a question of getting majority vote here, but there's a reason for it. Let's look at that other reason for it. And it's just helpful to be able to express that when you have other people around you as parents doing some of the same things. And it's nice to be able to discuss those things when you go through those questions. So, those are some of the settings that go, and you can, as far as how you would do principle behind it, the principle is we need a new level of Christian community, a new level of family, all right? Now, I'm going to describe to you a father-son retreat, and this has morphed over the last 15 years, and it's gotten where it really works well. On the day of the retreat, dads and sons arrive at a park. And it's a state park or a Christian camp or a camp of some way. It begins with high energy, capture the flag. Rarely do kids and dads and sons play together anymore. Now dads watch their sons do sports. Their sons have not seen their dads run, nor have the privilege of outrunning them. And this is one of those fun ways that they can play together. Now, we make a rule that dads and sons are always on the same team. And we design the game Capture the Flag so that it is appropriate for all different levels of physical activity. So if you don't like to run much, you can be a guard, or you can be a ref. Or if you would prefer to go with your son, you could take a walk. So that's okay. Now, another thing that we do with this is that we use energy discs, which are frisbees, which are a different way of playing capture the flag, so that you get to throw frisbees and get people out as you're going into attack, which makes it kind of more fun and interesting, involve people. What you're looking for with whatever game it is, it needs to really involve a lot of people. But the problem is that it gets dark quick, so how can you keep playing? And for us, we use glow sticks. So we have two teams, we put glow sticks around their necks. Now what we want to do is create an experience that they're going to be able to talk about 10 years later. And when you watch these people in an open field, this team of green and a team of red circles like little fireflies running around playing, and the frisbees have glow sticks. You know what a glow stick is?
Yeah.
Everybody? So by the time you finish that activity, everyone is not only tired, but they've gotten to know each other a little bit. They've had fun, and fun helps relationships build, particularly with young people. It also sets the expectation bar up. Something cool is happening. Everyone will leave that game saying, I've never seen something cooler in my life, you know, than people running around with those glow sticks. By the way, if you ever, we give resources to make this happen. We have 1,000 disclaimers with lawyers behind us telling you with no responsibility for injuries. We've never had an injury collision with glow sticks, but we did find out one rule that needed to be changed in the game so that we could keep people from going to the hospital about you can't pick up an energy disc on the enemy's field. But if you get our resources, we will tell you more about that. And then we go to a campfire. And what we're going to give to the kids is a definition of what it means to be a man of God. So that we're not talking just about birds and bees, we're talking about what God's plan for a man is. And literally, that's what we say. This retreat is God's plan for a man. And we need to define it in a way that it'll be communicated or stuck with them. And we say it this way. God's plan for a man is this. Be a man of God. Be courageous. Be honorable. Be faithful to the end. And all the dads have that memorized and will pray that blessing over their son with some other blessings as well. So each of the three learning sessions, we're going to talk about either the first one, be courageous, the second one, be honorable, and the third one, be faithful to the end. And in that context, we're going to give them the birds and the bees discussion. So that night, we talk about David and Goliath, and one of the dads or one of the guests at the campfire after some songs. We'll do a story tell and make it a lot of fun as they participate together. I hate to do this, but I just got to go ahead and tell you how tacky we can be. In the story tell, we get to that point where you're talking about how Goliath comes down in the valley and he shouts insult at Saul and at the army of Saul. So we get him down there and we go like this. Goliath, part of the storytelling. Saul! You ain't nothing. Your dog ain't nothing. Your mama ain't nothing, and your God ain't nothing. So they go like that. And then they go, Saul, your mama, let me tell you about your mama. And then the boys start throwing out your mama's jokes. Now, that is entirely inappropriate, but it is really funny. So we let them do it. And we talk about why. Is that such an insult? Because if someone really was insulting your mama, those are fighting words, are they not? And that's kind of getting to what it means to be a guy. So that's kind of, make it however you want, but I guess the principle behind it is you're kind of making it fun, and you're making it a guy's retreat. So we have prayer time that night, and at each one of these events after this event, we have fathers and sons. They're talking to one another, and they're both sharing a little bit about their life. What's a giant that you've faced in your life? Dads need to tell their sons that. And we've given them that preparation beforehand so they can kind of figure it out. They're going to talk about it. And then they listen to their son talking about one of the giants that they're facing. What's the challenge that they're going through? Man, that's... How often does that conversation happen? We have some prayer time together. And then all the dads in a circle. And you can have three or four dads, or you could have 30 dads with their sons in front of them. And by the way, if a son does not have a father that's in his life, we always have, if they don't have another man that they introduce, we always have someone from church who will step up, and some of these guys have been with these kids all the way through the teen years. That's the church's job. There is a dad for every son there. And as they put their hands on their sons, and their sons are in a circle, and they go around the circle and they say, Daniel, I bless you to be a man of God. Be courageous. And I pray that God would give you the courage to face the struggles of sometimes just getting over that challenge on the basketball team. Corey, I bless you to be a man of God. Be courageous. So you see how they're praying that blessing in their life? And then after that, they go do what they want. Take night hikes, go around, do whatever. Are you having fun yet? Does a guy want to go to this? Yeah. Next morning. We're on the second word. And the second word is be honorable. And here's the word that we want to talk about, honor, in which it is our jobs, men, to honor women, to treat them with the honor that God has given them to us. Because our job is to provide and protect, provide that kind of honor. And it's, to do that, we will never use women for selfish gain. And the Bible event that's told that morning is Joseph resisting Potiphar's wife. So that's one of the kind of the devotional note, kind of kicks the day off. And then we have breakfast, and then we come to the panel. And in both retreats, we use the panel. And once again, it's a great way to get your church involved. The panel has, in our setting, I'll be there as a pastor. We will always have a teenager, one who has stood up for being sexually pure. And especially one who had the choice. You know, I want to get the coolest guy I can, as long as his heart's, you know, godly. And then we will also get either sometimes a medical doctor or a psychologist or whoever is really good at that. And we have a panel of three, and then all the dads and sons will sit in a circle with the dads behind them and the sons right there, and there's pieces of paper. And we first begin by watching this video, and I can, I'll show you this video. I'm not going to show you a clip from it, but it's a great video. It's by Concordia Publishing House called How You Are Changing. And this does a great job to present the facts of sex behind, that's very appropriate for this age, from a godly perspective. So, after watching the video for 20 minutes, now we sit down and the questions start. Now the dads or the sons can write down a question, fold it in half, and it gets passed up to the panel. And I usually take the pieces of paper and I unwrap them and I put them in groups and I start passing them to people. Now sometimes, you know, when's the right time to, what do I do if I like a girl? You know, sometimes when's the right time to kiss? Or then sometimes, what does it mean to be homosexual? How do you get AIDS? And I mean, it goes on and on and on. And the thing about it is, the guys talk very openly. Sometimes we laugh, you know, in appropriate ways, because it's a normal conversation. We do have some, in our resources, we have sampled pages of questions that have come in and little synopsis points so your people can be, you know, just kind of have an idea. But make it your own personal questions. Man, when those teens tell their stories about how they're in the locker room and, you know, everyone's writing them and everything else, and they say, you better expect it. Expect it. It's going to happen. It's okay. Take it. Man up. And those fifth and sixth graders are going, I'm still trying to figure this out, because they may be pre-sexual urges for that matter. Or they may be right at that cusp. But the one thing they caught for sure is it's a lot more than just sex as an act. It has to do with how you live out your life. And you can live out your life in a way that's courageous. Does that make sense? Now, after this presentation, the fathers and sons, again, they circle up over there around their kids, and now the dads say, I bless you, Riley, to be a man of God. Be courageous. Be honorable. And I pray that you would always honor your wife in the future, and you would also honor your mother at home. So you see how now they're praying blessings into their kids. So what do you need to do after that? Football. You've got to go run that one out, because the guys are going, that's just too much. That's just too much talking about that kind of stuff. So they go to football. And then they have lunch, and then the last of the session is be faithful to them. By the way, you don't want to over-program a retreat, because you want to have enough gap time so that people just can talk and relax. But you also want to understand what else is happening around it. And in the U.S. on Saturday afternoons, we usually do this in the fall, we have college football games, so we're always aware of when our hometown team plays. You know, so, because they have to be back at 3 o'clock, you know, for that kinds of things. But now we have the last one. And this is be faithful to the end. What we do is we have one of the people from the panel, or one of the sponsors, will take all the boys together to a part of the forest and put them in blind. No. Do it two different ways to make it easier. A dad will go to another son and blindfold him and put him out into the woods. So now you have these kids all over the woods. And no cheater blindfolds, too. We make them put these things on so you can't see out. And then they're left. Now these kids are just standing out there. And then from a distance away, they hear voices calling. Several dads. But there's only one voice that they recognize, their dad. Start doing what their dad asks them to do and get through the forest, climb over the fence or under the branch, because they're listening to that voice. Do you see what's happening? And some of them will even be so brave as to say, you're on a dirt road now, son. I want you to run towards my voice. So they're blindfolded. Wow! Stop! Put your arm out. Oh, wow, there's a tree there. You know, it's all about trust. Step up. Step on that bench. And we have a setting in which we have a big cross, because it's a Christian camp that we're doing this. And they end up getting to the cross, and they stick one hand out. And they put the one hand there. And then the next hand, they say, put out here. And they hang on to this. The dads have been hiding it all along. But of course, anyway. And then he takes the blindfold off. He goes, I want you to know something. that you're hanging onto the cross, a life for you. Always go to him, and he will. And you're hanging onto this, you're hanging onto me, and have got what it takes. I am so proud to be your dad, and no matter what, I will be there for you. I tell you, I watch these guys do it, and I mean, it's no deal. So after that, it takes a while because they give everyone a lot of distance when they're to the cross. And they gather around and we read a story about running the race. And the dads hold this up and they give a blessing to their son one last time. This time, all this is over their son. Their son's hanging up in front of them, hanging under this. And then they pray a blessing. I bless you. I bless you, Jacob, to be a man of God. Be courageous. Be honorable. You're looking and reading and make sure they get it right because it's engraved right here. that's it. Until the next day at church. 4 minutes happens in a worship service. Can I have all the fathers and sons up here for their blessing event? And here they come. And they stand in a circle. And we want to commend these dads for stepping up and spending some time talking to their sons about the wonderful gift of sex. And more than that, what it means to be a man, to be a man of God. And now, folks, if you'd please just extend your arms and pray for these people as they now bless their sons one more time. And then there they are, and all in unison. Be a man of God. Be courageous. Be honorable. Be faithful to the end. Claps. That's that stage. Questions? Yes.
Strong in their faith, take part in this. What is the
absolutely. So felt need every dad has. The question is, have you ever had dads not as strong in their faith? Of course. But it's time for dads to step up. That's why it's also important for the orientation that happens ahead of time. Because we talk about, hey, we're all struggling. We're all going through this together. Let's help each other be a good dad. And dads, your son needs to hear you got what it takes. This is what's going to happen in the retreat. We're going to divvy out all the different things you're all going to do. And then we tell them ahead of time, you're going to bless your son. Now, the ones that have never done this before, guess what? They're with other dads who are believer sons, believers who've never done it before either. They're in good company. And it's not hard to do. Now, for the dads that are truly not believers, I know we've gone through so many hundreds. I know that they've been there, but everyone's participated. It absolutely is. Well, the churches are not a great place for guys to hang out. Let's make churches a good place for guys to hang out. And they're saying, this is all right. Can I give you the microphone for the question?
I was wondering, the voice,
right.
How do they recognize the voice?
They do. They also call them by name. That makes it for sure. And what we're trying to do is create relationships. It gives us one of those reasons to say, would you consider sponsoring this son? And then sometimes what's happened is that dad's come back to me and said, okay, now I'm going to meet with him monthly. And we give a real strong challenge to our men's ministry to step up. Others. All right. Now I'm going to go to women's. How much time do I have? Oh, plenty. By the way, what are some of the principles? Tell me. Think about it. It's important. If you're going to build relationships, you better have fun. You better help the church know to be the church. Be the family of God. Be the body of Christ. You need to talk about sex the way God talks about it. It's a gift. You need to give opportunities for parents to pray blessings into their children. That's powerful. And the reason is, it's a spiritual problem we're having, not just an organizational problem. So let's not organize our spiritual problems, nor try to spiritualize our organizational problems. And if it is a spiritual problem, and which it is, because we're spiritually negligent in this area, I confess it myself as a dad. And I want to, when I'm falling short, and I want to confess it, get the covered by the blood of the Lamb, and then get busy on it. And one of the ways I'm going to get busy on it is I'm going to speak that blessing into my son. And I spoke my blessing that I spoke to my son last week. And he's in seminary. But I spoke it to him when he was at that retreat so many years before. Okay. Any other principles? Still be thinking. Let's go through the ladies, the mother-daughter retreat. Mother-daughter retreat, would you like to have it at a hotel or a church camp? Hotel, absolutely. It depends on the church camp, you know, really. But what you want to do is make it the best time possible for that mom and daughter to connect, and also to connect for the gals. So what we do is, it's a whole different way of playing your warm-up game, and warm-up games are very, very important. Community builder, concentric circles, three truths and a fib. And this is ways to build communities about this. And what's interesting about this retreat, even though I helped design it, I've never seen it because we don't want men in the room. So I don't know. All I heard is that the games are great. So I don't know everything about the games because I've not seen them work, and I'm happy I haven't. But then, after that, we're going to have three blessing words that we're going to speak to them. And you think about how a woman is designed. And every woman designed by God has that need to be cherished. God designed them that way. That's just why God also designed men to provide and protect. So, let's talk about being cherished. And not being cherished for what you do, but for who you are. That's the way God cherishes. So that video is going to be a speaker that's going to talk about the biblical person of a woman whose life was changed because she was cherished. And she was the woman at the well. I'm going to tell that Bible event. And what is important to us is not the information, but how you process it is what the conversations happen afterwards. And how you divide in the groups to discuss that. So they discuss that, and then they have some cherished time. And during their cherished time, they have a journal called a From Me to You journal. And they decorate the cover. We have all sorts of supplies there that you can paint, you know, paste, whatever else. And this journal is such that a mom will write something in there that she's thinking about her daughter, and sometimes it's easier to write or better to write and leave it in her daughter's room. And I know you've been having a hard time with Sandy at school and the bad things that she said, and I wanted you to know that I really appreciate you talking to me about that. I wish I could fix it all, but I am praying for you. Man, that just, you can tell the kind of conversations that can happen. And when, in the middle of the argument sometimes, writing on that, giving it the other way, what you're doing is you're doing that important thing about building the relationship and cherishing one another. Also, you're teaching parents what their daughter needs. What you can do that night, instead of everyone together, moms and daughters go up to the hotel. Or maybe a couple friends together. But you just don't want to get too sidetracked, because if you get too many girls, too many moms together, all the girls are going to jump together. And we want to make it a unique experience. Moms and daughters especially. So if they're going to go out and several are going to be in the same hotel, they want to make sure that they stay closer together, moms and daughters. Next morning, be a woman of God and be pure. And this poster project that they do is, they're describing what beauty is in America, and da-da-da-da-da. They watch the video. Then they do the panel discussion, the same kind of thing that happens with the guys, except in this one, oh, it's a great, great way to talk openly about all the female issues. And that the church is such a good place to talk about that. And they do this, and they have all sorts of these, all these great refreshments, and this little table thing decorated very nicely, and they have a lot of fun with it. It's a very easy conversation to happen, and it's so nice for the moms because there's not an embarrassment factor because they're all talking about it together. And when they begin to pass in the pieces of paper and ask the questions, it also makes it easy for everyone to participate. And questions they think need to be asked, parents can ask and write them and send them in to the panel. Well, they talk about the physical changes, and then they do this one activity that is about unwrapping God's gift, and then they're going to do discussion part two, and that's about sex. All right? After lunch, they have another community builder, and then they will have their final activity, which is similar. It's a trust walk with their mother's voice. And by the way, the scriptural reference there is Jesus saying, I know my sheep and they know my voice. And that's just a very appropriate way to illustrate that truth. Their blessing object is a bracelet that says, cherished, faithful, and cherished, pure, and faithful. Being faithful to the end is hanging on to Jesus their whole life. We encourage them to go on a date with Dad that night. And maybe Mom and Dad together, but let Dad have some of the fun. This is one of those special weekends for the girl. I don't believe it stops there. I believe that discipleship through the teenage years needs to talk about sex with parents and teens. We discovered that though these retreats worked well, oftentimes conversations did not continue. We developed some other things that we used in our church, then we also made available to other churches. And in the ninth grade year, we have a one-night seminar for parents, both parents and their son or daughter. And it is on a teenage home where sex isn't a dirty word. And now we're talking about dating, but you talk about dating entirely different as a ninth grader than you do as a sixth grader. Entirely different. And we want parents to be part of that conversation because sometimes parents think that your kids know what I believe, so I don't need to talk to you about it again. In the 11th grade, there's another very important step that we have for parents and their kids together. This is called keeping God in your relationships. Do you know Rob Reno? Great American family ministry leader. And he's a speaker on this seminar. All these seminars have moms and dads together with their student, and then they have a lot of discussion activity. It's really at least half discussion, half video. Actually more discussion than video. But great content, and this is asking the question, what kind of future spouse do you want to marry? We better talk about that because it ought to make a difference in your dating life. And moms and dads need to talk about that with their teen. So those are ways we can kind of continue that, though we don't have retreats later on. We find that a lot easier to do in those preteen years. But those one-night seminars, I mean, they're a little bit busier in their teenage schedule. They can get there one night, and parents can too, and that's how we do that. Questions?
Like a sample? Are those videos a sample of what you would do for a one-night session?
These videos are, and let me, I'm going to have a qualifier. And with Kids Count Ministries, we provide resources. Our mission arm is a publishing company that began to make this available since we had a challenge distributing it. So we had So it distributes it. So it produces them and distributes them. And these are a part of the Faith Legacy series, which is from birth to grades 12, in which we get parents together teaching them a discipleship skill that they're going to work with their children. We just believe that the discipleship skills during the teenage years need to be things like this. We're always talking about doing devotions and those kinds of things, but this is the stuff we want to deal with. Therefore, it follows our regular format, and those one-night seminars would have, I don't know if I brought, they would have printout materials. They would have the video that you see. It would have how the leader leads it, all the warm-up games and all that. You print it out, and you've got a notebook for your leader to put it on. Now, if you do the retreats, the same thing applies, that there is a video and a CD with all the printed out materials for your promotions, for your orientation meetings, etc., and how to get your different people in your church to do the different things. Because what you want to do, and this is the problem that we have, we need to raise up leaders to do this so it's not just the professionals. If the professionals have to do it, it won't work. That's just because it's too much work. Too many things. So what the professionals need to do is be able to find the right advocates and say, hey, let me help you have success in this, and here's the resources you have, and you lead it. I'll show up for the conversation or at the right time. So if you'd like to look at the printed out materials for this retreat, they are in these two notebooks. And here are the retreats themselves. And if you would like to find out more about the entire series, there is a sample DVD that tells you about the series or a brochure. You're free to take one of those or drop by at the booth, Kids Count booth, right opposite the bookstore. And please note that I say this not to, it's not promoting material, it's trying to equip for ministry. So you can do your own. If it's easier for you to use this and make your own edits, you know, maybe that would be something that would help, be helpful. Any other questions afterwards, come and talk to me. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for our young people that are growing up. Lord, it is scary to consider the challenges that they face with that wonderful treasure of gift and gift of sex that you're giving them to be celebrated in the relationship they'll have someday with their spouse. Bless them and bless so many people and bless their marriages, their children through that gift. But we pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us in our spheres of influence within our church to do whatever we can to help our churches winsomely make a witness to that wonderful gift that you've given us. And help parents open those relationships and conversations, Lord, not just for the fifth and sixth grade year, but throughout the growing up years. It's such a daunting task. It could not be done by us alone or our own power. So we pray, Lord, that you would do it. And we, Lord, would be obedient to what you lead. Pray it in Jesus' name.